But we'll get this started. Anyway, welcome to the biweekly KISSA Zoom roundtable, and thank you for attending. I know you all are very busy, and taking this time out is greatly appreciated. These calls are member benefits, and your membership allows us to continue the important work that KISSA does. So thank you all for being members. Format of the call today is a panel discussion around teaching in the age of COVID-19. Please keep your mic muted unless you are invited to speak. There is a chat function at the bottom, and I invite all of you to use that with any questions, and feel free to send those, and we'll try and get to them as we go. Regarding COVID, keep in mind that this is a fluid situation and things are changing. What we talk about today and may be incredibly relevant may not be in a few weeks. So keep that in mind. And also remember that this is a great opportunity to rethink your operational systems that you currently have, and really consider ways of doing what you're doing in different and new ways that that may frequently have been needed anyway. So great opportunity to rework your business. With that said, I'd like to introduce our panel for today. We have Nick Herron, CEO of PSIA and Aussie. We have Greg Rhodes and Emily Lovett, cross-country ski instructors and PSA Aussie demo team members. And then we have Richard Hodges, Nordic director from White Pine, that has a pretty robust teaching operation. We've talked about, kind of in our task force over the summer, we've talked about lessons, and we've delayed it until we got closer to the season for a variety of reasons. One was that a lot of people early on were very concerned about lessons and thinking that they were going to have to greatly reduce the number of lessons that they taught, et cetera. And we wanted to delay that a bit to get a little more information. I caution many of you, when you're looking at your business model, if lessons are an important part of it, you don't want to, if you don't have to, you don't want to reduce the revenue out of that silo. So keep that in mind, and also keep in mind that that the general Nordic industry feels that this year is going to see incredible growth in people coming into the sport, and with that growth will probably come the need for lessons. So keep that in mind as we discuss this, and also I don't think we'll really get to staffing, but I know that's going to be an issue when it comes to lessons. All right. With that said, I'm going to start with Nick. I know you're out there somewhere. I can't see you, Nick, but I'm sure I will in a moment. Could you introduce this document, Navigating the 2020-21 Snow Sports Seasons, that your organization has created, and give a little introduction and a little bit about the thought process that went into its creation?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Reese, for having me. Quick question. Should I share my screen? Has everybody gotten that document ahead of time?
I actually have it up and we'll share it right now.
Oh, great. Perfect. I just thought I'd let everybody else know that if you go to our website, thesnowpros.org, and you click on education, under education, the second tab down is COVID-19. And there's quite a few documents in there, along with NSAA's Ski Well, Be Well document. There's tools for resources for snow sports schools to take advantage of. I think the most exciting thing about the navigating the 2021 season for snow sports educators is really the conversation around relationships. And, you know, this document really started to become, give you a little bit of history of how this document came to be. I actually owe Reese a lot of this. Reese and I brainstorming in June about what we need to do to respond to engagement with guests in the winter environment in the era of COVID. And with this document, we put together a subgroup, and I'm going to let Emily and Greg dive into really the content, because I know Emily was on the subgroup that helped direct a lot of the content in this. But I call this a conversation around COVID. And the big focus that we had when building this document was two relationships. One, the relationship between the instructor and the guest, and then two, the relationship between the snow sports school or resort, whatever you want to use for that leadership team, and the staff and the educator. And it's broken up into two parts. The first is the instructor and the guest relationship. The second is specific training between the Nordic Center, the ski resort, snow sports school, and their staff or instructor. And I think it's so important to understand when we're looking at those relationships and training, we really frame everything around that learning connection model. And when it comes to engagement with guests in this era, whether it's hiding behind masks, wearing different things, or having to be further away from each other, it really calls out how we deliver our people skills as well as our teaching skills. And that is the focus on this document. I mean, the big focus is how do we engage? And as you, as many of you know, in our people skills, two of our fundamentals of being excellent educators is one, understanding your emotional presence in front of your guests and at where you're at for the day of work. And then two, understanding the physical and emotional needs of the student. And so really understanding how do you create that emotional intelligence and that connection with that guest when you don't have the traditional tools you may always have. You don't have the ability to actually help them put their skis on because you're too close or something like that. So we have to change the way in which we engage with our guest. I think the second part of the document that I really like is making sure, and it hits that emotional comfort level of your staff. What are we doing to take into account to prepare us as trainers and prepare our staff to feel confident in their position? And I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to be had with staff moving into the season to make sure that confidence level and the comfort level is there to work. So again, there's no black and white answers to this document. I don't think that this is what the document's for. The big thing is to ignite conversation with your management teams, ignite conversation with your staff to figure out how does your resort, how does your Nordic Center need to really cater to or manipulate some of these bullet points to fit your needs, whether it's because of the region you're in and what's going on in your county, state, or federal level. I mean, there's so many things that we have to take into consideration. So that's the way in which we hope to guide the document. The last part of the document was really to give more tools and guidance, some direct-to-consumer videos of how-tos that you guys can take advantage of, sending to guests before they arrive, as well as e-learning. What can you do in terms of providing education for your staff at home before they arrive, whether it's the beginner experience for cross-country, which actually you guys will be watching a lot of Greg and Emily if you go through that one. But there's a lot of tools that you can access to kind of reimagine the way you deliver training. And hopefully PSIA AASI has some of those tools that you can take advantage of looking through those documents. I think the last thing I was going to mention, Reese, is I'm really excited to be on this call. I actually just registered to listen to this conversation because one of our goals as PSIA AASI is to continue to better support and make sure we elevate our engagement with Nordic Centers and the cross-country community. And what I love about this document is there's no discipline-specific language in this document. This document is intended, when it comes down to educational relationships, the people skills and the teaching skills are universal across every discipline. And I think it's really powerful to understand how successful this can be when we remove what sliding mechanism you're on. And that's a big focus of ours going into our next evolution of this organization, is making sure that we're supporting every discipline with what they need. And hopefully some of you have seen that through some of the e-learning and videos we've done the last couple of years. But I have a lot to thank Reese for that, because he's been a guiding light and kind of guiding us and steering us in some of that stuff. So just thought I'd share that. And I'm looking forward to hearing what are the main conversations coming out of the cross-country world, really.
Awesome. Nick, thanks very much, and appreciate you being on the call and being part of what we're trying to do here. Let's review this document. I'm hoping everybody can see it. It looks like it can be seen. So can you guys see it? Yeah. Okay, good. So we're going to let Greg and Emily kind of take us through, and I'm going to start with Greg. And Greg, you're going to attack this first section here, and hoping you can elaborate a little bit more on that learning connection model.
Yeah, I mean, Nick did a great job of kind of giving the whole layout of it, and we'll just dive a little bit into specifics on each of these. And so that first part that Nick mentioned that is all really based on is that learning connection model is kind of a foundation around what we're really looking at is student-centered education is kind of the focus there. And PSI has really been known for being really good on the technical side, and we focus really on that technical skills part. But over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been talking about those people skills and teaching skills, which in this era of COVID is really going to be highlighted, kind of like Nick said, of what is going to be most important as we go forward. And so everything that kind of comes along, this learning connection model, really focuses on how can we highlight, and we are developing PSIA ASI, a lot of the educational material this year is coming out around helping people develop better people skills and teaching skills going forward, because a lot of us know the mechanics of how to ski. And so I think that's going to be really highlighted as we process a lot of this COVID protocols going forward. And I just, one thing I want to highlight on this model, and it's kind of hard to see there, but the outer ring of this, it says decisions, behavior, and instructor. So it's the decisions and the behavior of this instructor, or you might even look at it as move the word in the middle that here is saying student, move that to instructor, and that outer ring instead of instructor could be ski school. So as an instructor myself, I have to think about my decisions and my behaviors and how it's going to influence that student. And as a ski school, you can also think of the same thing as what are your decisions and your behaviors that we are going to talk about as we go through this document, really going to influence the positivity of the student. And, you know, really focusing on those teaching and people skills as we make those decisions and those behaviors going forward. And really that is going to bring us, and I mean, we talk about this in a specific, in a lesson, but if you really think about it, we are thinking about the safety and a positive experience for everybody coming through. And I think, like we said, we have an opportunity this season with a possible increase in participation in cross-country skiing to really highlight all this and create this positive experience for people to say, wow, cross-country skiing is where I want to go, or Nordic Center B or C, wherever they went and had that great experience. This is where we can really highlight that kind of decisions we make to highlight our sport and our Nordic centers.
Awesome, Greg. Let's move to Emily to talk about the teaching learning cycle, which is that next graph down there. Oops. Oh, Emily, you're muted.
Thank you. Thanks, Reese. Good to see so many familiar faces out there. So going into the teaching learning cycle, and it's going to have a common theme, again, is that it's really student focused. And we can look at the teaching learning cycle as a framework or a tool that instructors can use to really facilitate those positive learning experiences in a lesson and really tailor it to the student. And that's really what the teaching learning cycle is for, is a tool for instructors to use. And what we did with this document is we framed the first part of this document, the navigating COVID document, around the teaching learning cycle, just because it's a really great flow to think about some of the specifics that we may want to think about as instructors out on the snow. And so what I'd like to kind of start out with is just going through the teaching learning cycle and talking about some potential examples of things that we may face and some mindsets that we might want to have to address the situation with COVID. So starting off, the welcome and introduction, it's at the top there. I've been on some of the other calls and you all have done such a great job on adapting to operations to this new environment. I've heard a lot of great ideas of potentially finding new meeting spaces for your students before a lesson. So thinking about where is that place going to be that people feel comfortable being at and coming to a lesson. They're socially distanced, where instructors feel comfortable as well. So that initial meet and greet, as well as first impressions. You know, if we are covered up, if we have a mask, if we our social distancing, that communication piece of welcoming someone to the lesson is going to feel a little different, and to be conscious of our body language and how we actually make that welcome, whether it be a movement with our body or a verbal say, hey, I'm smiling under my mask, or to communicate that that welcome. Going into kind of that top bubble there is assessing students is, you know, this is a really a great time to have a conversation with our students to say, you know, what is your barometer with COVID? How are you feeling? Are there any things that you want to share with the group, with myself, so that we're on the same page as how we're going to facilitate this lesson together? It's going into that instructor student partnership. It's also a great time for us as instructors to share some of the protocols that we're going to facilitate through the lesson and just have a common understanding on what that looks like. After assessing students and getting some of those conversations done, we'll start to determine goals. And this is where we really get to know the student a little bit better. We get to know who they are physically, mentally, emotionally, and again, where do they feel, how do they feel, what's their comfort level with COVID? And we start to talk about how we're going to create learning experiences together in a healthy, safe manner. So a lot of that upfront stuff does have to do with people skills and in highlighting some of that, the people skills piece of that learning connection model that Greg gave an overview for. The other piece that we really are feeling, and we've got some great feedback from some of our colleagues, is that the checking for understanding with our guests, I mean, that's always an important thing to do as we are going through a lesson, but it may be more important now, even with the social distancing, with mask on potentially, is just checking maybe more frequently for understanding and making sure that there's a really good understanding of the flow of what we're talking about in a lesson. Going on from creating experiences for learning and that guided practice, you know, when we create experiences, it's usually creating a newness for people, right? And so communication is so important, so important. And so, again, the value of a great demonstration on the snow versus verbally talking through a learning experience. You know, how can we articulate our message in this era where we're maybe further apart with masks on? How can we articulate our message the best that we can do and maybe practicing some different ways that are effective? And again, visual demonstrations, they're always such a great way to go. The other thing that I think that we've talked about is, you know, when we're in a hands-off environment where we as instructors may not be helping our student adjust their pole strap, some of those learning experiences might take longer. And, you know, I've thought about it for myself is often I'll just say, oh, let me help you fix your pole strap so it fits better. Well, now we're going to be guiding them to help them fix their pole strap and embracing the fact that things may take a little bit longer out there, but that learning experience could be even richer as we guiding people through the learning process. You know, the other thing that's mentioned quite often in this document is the independent learning. And independent learning is can mean a lot of different things, I think. But if you think about creating experiences where guests can be autonomous in their learning. Say you have a family lesson where you have, you know, some people that are progressing on a skill faster than another. You can send a couple people out with a clear objective. Hey, I want you to go two loops around the training area, you know, gliding equally on both skis, and then I'd love to hear your feedback about it. How'd it go? While you work with someone adjusting their pole strap. So getting creative with how you're actually working with each of the students and allowing some autonomous learning is a great way to deal with ability level splits, but also to, just give some social distancing, less togetherness, a little bit more spread out. Guided practice, same thing, independent learning situations are super valuable for people. And thinking about maybe choosing less congested trails, we try to do that anyways as instructors, but maybe we want to kind of highlight that a little bit more during a COVID era if we're heading out on the trail for the practice piece of it. So we kind of just covered all those four bigger bubbles of the learning, teaching learning cycle. And that process can happen multiple times, right? Within a learning experience, within a lesson, as skill development happens. And then when the lesson's up, it's the review and preview that kind of wraps up the lesson. Super valuable to have the students review what was meaningful to them in the lesson, like what were their key points in the lesson. And then as instructors, we may give them some ideas of what are their next steps. Is there a great trail that you want to suggest for them to go on? Or, in the COVID era, we might be thinking, well, they're ready for some water. If they don't have it on the snow, what is going to be their next step to go get hydrated and some nutrition so that they can go out again, and helping them guide that experience so it's a positive experience for them. So in a nutshell, teaching learning cycle and bringing in some of those key people skills and teaching skills to make it a positive experience during this era.
Awesome, Emily, thank you. And let's move on to some of those instructor considerations. And I imagine the people skills are going to be especially critical this year. Greg, can you speak a little bit to that phase, this people skill area?
Yeah, I mean, so the people skills is what I kind of feel is going to be one of the biggest things. Emily did a good on the teaching cycle, and we'll go a little bit more on the teaching skills. But we can highlight some of these people skills that we've been talking about amongst us in PSIA. And really, we started this before COVID, but I think the COVID time is going to be really highlighting it. And I'm just going to pull out some highlights of this part of the document, and you guys can dive deeper into it on your own time. But I really want to say some of the biggest things that we've been addressing and has come up regularly is establishing really good communication, which is going to allow us to establish some really good trust with our guests. I mean, as instructors, we are always trying to figure out how to establish that trust right away. People are uniquely doing a new sport. We need to have that. But I think this is a heightened awareness that trust that we are looking out for their safety as well as our own around this pandemic is going to be critical to be having success. And so anything that you can work on with your communication skills is going to be really important and to establish that trust and that communication. So, I mean, just one of the things that I like to really bring up and really start with that on that trust and communication is a lot of times when we start talking about this emotional intelligence, which is kind of like framework of these people skills, is opening up and knowing where you're coming from when you come to a lesson. And it forces you to be a little bit more vulnerable. But I know that I'm looking at this year and starting all my lessons with a little bit of opening up about my communication of where I feel and where I'm concerned about COVID and my personal connection with it. I know I will admit that I'm probably a little bit more on the conservative side of protecting myself of COVID. I'm pretty cautious and done a lot of isolation. So I'm probably going to share that with my guests and open up my vulnerability. And then be ready to listen and hear where they're coming from. And again, back to that learning connection model and that whole teaching cycle, we're checking for that understanding. We're checking for where they're at and looking at what is the most comfortable for the student. Because if somebody comes to me and says, wow, I really want to keep, say, 10 feet away from you, or I want to just get some suggestions and go away, that is what they're comfortable with. So you know, making sure that we have that awareness of our guests and where they're at and making sure they're comfortable with sharing that situation, whatever it is. And that's a lot of that people skills that we're looking for is give yourself a little vulnerability to your guests and then give a little bit of time for them to communicate back to you and really work on some of those listening skills. Communication is a lot of nonverbal. We all know that. And a lot of it's going to be facial expressions. With us having masks on, it's going to be hard. So part of that communication is going to be saying back to them what you heard. So they feel that trust in that communication of, okay, they did hear that I'm uncomfortable meeting, or, you know, I really want to make sure that everybody has their masks on when they come back to the group. So those things, restate those. And so validate some of those concerns and some of those issues. So they going back, that establishing that trust with no judgment in your statements and nothing like that is really going to go a long way of people starting their lesson, starting their interaction with you on a level of trust that they're going to be comfortable, and it's going to open up that opportunity to learn. If they come in nervous about COVID and everything else, how well are they going to learn how to do a V2 or, you know, ski for the first time? So opening up that, taking that a little bit of time at the beginning to establish that trust and that communication is going to be super imperative when we work on our people skills. Some of the things that we say in this is talking about being welcoming. And, you know, that's been easy in the past, is standing there and welcoming our guests as they walk up to our Nordic Center or out on the trail, and we can visually smile and do all those things. With the mask on, we're going to have to adjust our overall body language, not just our facial expressions, to be welcoming, to verbally say, you know, thank you for coming today. Verbalizing our welcomes is going to be really important, and working on making sure we're auditory and heard through our masks. So those are all kind of part of those people skills that we've been highlighting in a lot of our education and what we're going to be putting out this year going forward of considerations that you might want to think about when you are running your own lesson or coaching your instructors that you're going to have at your Nordic Center of what to do. So that's kind of just looking at my notes as we go through. I mean, with this communication, physical distance is going to be important. So make sure we have that. Like I said, when we're checking in with our guests, make sure we're adaptable. So don't just ask them, but actually then say, listen to what they're saying and adjust what your lesson is. And a lot of times I even like to say, tell them how I'm adjusting my lesson so they know that I'm hearing them and adjusting to their concerns. That is going to go for a long way on trust. And it comes down to a good communication skills. I think those are my notes that I have from this. You guys can read the rest. If you have more questions at the question period, please come up with specific people skills questions.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg. Our plan is to go through this document and then end up with some questions and also hear from Richard on what he is planning to do for this year. He's got some good ideas. Emily, that brings it back to you to talk about teaching skills, another what could be a critical area this year. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Sure. So teaching skills, I feel like, you know, we covered some of them when we were talking about the teaching learning cycle and some of the adjustments you may make. But, one thing that really comes to mind, and we've talked about it quite a bit, is that we might be getting social pods of people coming to take lessons, families or friends. And often you can see a difference of ability level in that. And so being really creative with how we can deliver a learning experience to multiple ability levels, I think is something that is going to be potentially out there this year. And so that a games approach is often a good way to do that. And a games approach doesn't mean that you're having to play tag and touch each other, but maybe it's a terrain-based learning type of situation where you're setting up a slalom course and everyone can do the slalom course with some cones, and the kids are thinking it's a game and the adults are working on some skill development. So there's some creative experiential ways that I think that we can deal with social pods or different ability levels and really create a positive experience about around that. You know, the other thing that comes to mind in the teaching piece is that, and with the different ability levels, is that just being really mindful of the terrain you're on, is that you definitely want to never over terrain someone with maybe a lower ability level in the group. And so just being really conscious of that, especially during COVID, is that, you know, we want to stay really safe out there in that and maybe take some extra precautions in that line of things. Yeah, that independent piece of independent learning. I talked about that before, but that autonomous learning environment where maybe a couple students go off and ski on their own with some clear objectives is a great way to give that autonomy of learning to people that could be a really great experience for them while you take some one-on-one time with another person. So those are some thoughts, some additional thoughts along the teaching.
All right. Terrific. That brings us back to Greg. I'm going to slide down here to the lesson products and group size, Greg.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said on the last, we're going to give some suggestions and some guidelines. And like Nick said, it's starting a conversation, but these are very Nordic Center specific, region specific, things like that. So use these as a way to jump off what you think are going for, because we can't really say, you know, group sizes can be up to 10. I mean, that might be some region's suggestion, but your region might be different. I also want to say that, you know, this is kind of the section a lot that is kind of focused towards the snow sports school or the Nordic Center on how they're going to help their instructors. And so it's kind of further down, but it kind of goes with my set of communication. Is I've already been on these past couple of weeks, a few phone calls and with different Nordic Centers and different ski organizations that I work with. And everybody has been asking of us individually as instructors or clinic leaders, what is our personal comfort level with how many students we want to be around? And so I say, start with that conversation with your instructors, what their comfort level is. Because that's going to have to fit into what your regulations are for your own Nordic Center. And one thing that we definitely need to think about is if your region says no groups, no bigger than 10, well, that means 9 guests and 1 instructor. So make sure you're figuring in that instructor number into all those numbers that you're putting out there. But the biggest thing that I think is one of the highlights of COVID in our adaptation to our businesses is we're going to be forced into some smaller groups. I know that most Nordic centers already teach really small 1 to 2 to maybe 5 person group lessons. So that's always nice and easy to do. But Emily and I were on a call yesterday, and when we do big clinics, we have groups of 15 and 20 that we're dealing with. And so we're reveling in the idea that we get to have groups of 6 because we're like, we get to really make that personal connection with everybody and really help with them. So this COVID time for us is we're looking forward to great opportunities to having small groups. And so I think from a marketing standpoint, from a ski school standpoint, this is a great thing to look at as small groups. And don't think of it as a burden from COVID, but think of it as a positive going forward. So I would encourage smaller groups as you go forward. And I also know from a Nordic center that I work at, we're focusing on doing family unit or household units. So it's really kind of trying to control that cross exposure and not a true group lesson. So that all, again, comes down to everybody's personal feelings about where they want to go and what they want to do with it. So look at group sizes, make sure that they're including whenever you look at your regulations that includes your instructors. Make sure you really are addressing what your instructors' concerns are. Having that open communication with them of saying, hey, they might only be wanting to do 1 or 2 person lessons, or they might only want to work once every couple of days. So those are those regulations that then that comfort level and that communication, that trust, I think is going to be huge as we go forward. And you can start communicating that to your guests as well, ahead of time, so they feel comfortable coming to your Nordic Center saying, hey, these people are addressing these concerns without us even telling that to them. So I would really look for doing that at an appointment of looking at how you're going to do these situations. And I mean, part of these products and part of these kind of group things, kind of going back to like Emily said with the teaching skills, is really working on developing independent skiing and independence. So your group lessons and your products can be talked around a lot of independent skiing. I've worked in the past with a lot of youth groups and in ski clubs and training groups. And I think with young kids, I don't run one now, but I'm thinking of how I would run children's groups and small kids groups. It would be a lot around independent skiing with some guidance. And I would be trying to rope in some parents a lot into those things. So I know if you go to our webpage, and it might be very Alpine specific. I know Emily's been on there too, but there's been some talks about what do we like about family lessons. And I think, you know, family lessons is a great way. Emily highlighted it, like different terrain tactics and making the gamification of your lessons with families, but having family lessons as a group product that you put out there might be a really great way to manage a lesson, get people involved with still being COVID protocol appropriate.
Great, Greg. That was some good information. And Emily, going back to you for instructor training, any elements there that we should key in on for COVID?
Great. Well, I think, you know, having, like I said, having been on this call before, the other calls, is that I really got a good feeling that people were dialing in operations so that they could communicate it well to instructors. And I think that's really highlighted in the document is as we come up with protocols and for guidelines for our own personal operations is just really, again, it goes back to that communication piece of really be upfront and proactive about communicating with our instructors. You know, I've also heard that, you know, one of the concerns out there this year is having enough instructors and employees, and that communication piece of boy, I really value that you know the scoop and I'm setting you up for success is so important, is that we want to set our instructors up for success. So really that communication piece and being proactive about Nordic Center policies and guidelines and the plan. I guess the other thing, and it goes along with that, is some sort of a feedback loop for instructors as they are out there leading clinics and having that experience, is the feedback loop of their experience, what's working, what's not, and sharing with each other best practices is going to be super important to facilitate, I believe, this year. Yeah, and some of the other points, you know, go back to your specific facility and what is available for food and beverage. And I know you all have talked about that quite a bit, and what's available, you know, what are your standard operating procedures? So clear communication of that is really what we're highlighting here.
Awesome. And certainly you're right. We have in our messaging call spent a lot of time talking about what you're communicating to your guests before they arrive. I want to bring Richard in now. Now that we've kind of gone through this document, which broad strokes a lot of really good procedures. Richard, you have a pretty vibrant ski school there in Park City. And I guess one question to what Greg said, talking about the number of people based on what's allowed. I wonder if that's going to be an issue, because I think in Park City, you can have up to 150 people outside. So I want to start, will that impact your lesson size, or are you adjusting what you're doing specifically for other reasons?
Okay. thanks, everyone, and Emily and Greg and Nick. It's great stuff. Our current plan is right now we have a 10-person cap on our kind of scheduled group lessons, And the current plan is to operate those as close to normal as possible based on our other operations. What we're going to, we've been encouraging is private family lessons, private group lessons for people that may not just want to kind of wander in off the street, but we do have a very large kind of walk-in market of tourists and visitors in Park City that we have to deal with. And so I've been communicating back and forth with my 15 instructors, soon to be 18 instructors, about kind of how we're going to do the mechanics of the lesson. It falls into how we're doing rentals. So we're going to do boot fitting kind of inside the shop and then equipment pickup outside the shop and equipment drop off outside the shop, and then have a special meeting area for the lessons. We're also looking at laying out a third and possibly fourth lesson area in anticipation of the volume of kind of beginners that we're expecting this year. Just based on kind of preseason past sales, preseason interest, and we've already got over 100 lessons booked for the winter online already here in October for privates. So we're going to try to operate the lesson structure as close to normal as possible, but kind of on the operational side is where most of the adjustments are going to be. But we are anticipating more private groups and more small groups coming in kind of as special requests, if you will, and we'll just treat them under our private lesson structure. The one other thing that's going to crop up is backcountry tours are going to be, I think, massive this year. And we're looking at some new guides. But I mean, just for instance, all of our avalanche courses that have been scheduled are completely sold out already. All the on-snow avalanches already sold out for the winter. And so we're anticipating a huge growth in touring and people interested in learning how to get out in non-risky terrain, either as tours or in a lesson format. So that's going to be something that's a little bit bigger this year. But we're going to operate that based on the protocols that we've been doing, summer biking and climbing tours. So it should work out pretty well. The other things, you know, we're trying to reduce touch points and still working on, you know, how to best get people to know what boot size they need to ask for. I saw just the other day, Rosie has issued Alpine boot fitting stuff online, but they haven't done Nordic yet. But just, you know, we're going to do some simple videos about how to measure your foot so that when you come in for your lesson, you know if you're a 37 or a 47 for your boot. It will just help things along and make it easier. And again, I mean, our focus this year is going to be communicating with our customers about helping them help us stay open. You know, the COVID, we're having another huge outbreak here in Utah. There haven't been any draconian restrictions yet, but we're kind of wait and see. And that's the best we can do with that. So it'll be fascinating. And then, you know, ongoing meetings and discussions with employees about a safe workplace, a healthy workplace, kind of how we plan to deport ourselves. Because if we can make a healthy, safe work environment for everyone, it will be healthy and safe for our customers.
So. Richard, if I can cut in, you mentioned that you've already sold 100 lessons online. Out of that 100 or whatever the number is, what percentage are first-time lessons versus
others? They're all beginners right now.
And how would that compare to previous years?
The difference would be the pre-booking. typically, it looks like people are making longer-term plans for their holiday travel and for their winter travel. Typically, we would not be getting them this early. But, you know, people are, I think part of the panic about people, what do you mean I can't rent a mountain bike on demand this summer because they've been sold out, you know, in rentals for 3 months straight. And I think people are kind of jumping on the anticipation that it's going to be busy and that it's, that they should, if they know they're coming, if they know they want to do this, they should start looking early. And we're getting the same thing on equipment sales. Our gear isn't in the shop yet, but people are coming in every day saying, where is it? I want to buy it. Need touring gear. Need it now. So.
Richard, well, actually, as a statement first, from what I hear on the retail side, August and September were some of the biggest months year over year for many ski areas, many cross-country retailers, from the big boxes to the independents to the small ski areas. They're seeing a tremendous number of entry-level packages being sold well before the season, something they haven't seen in the past. And I say that because that leads me to believe that there's going to be this group of new people coming into it. And so, Richard, what are you guys doing specifically to handle what could be a significant number of new beginners coming in to take lessons? Like, how are you setting yourself up to handle that?
Well, thanks. I also saw the note on school groups, too. The big thing that we're doing is I'm going to have more people. If we have to reduce groups, or groups end up being 8 instead of 10 or 5 instead of 8, it requires more bodies, because my goal is not to be turning people away from learning, because I think, as we've all experienced, a little bit of lesson can go a long way towards having a very long cross-country career. Going out and flailing doesn't lead people to come back. And so that is the key for us. And then I've got people on reserve. I've managed to gather a crew of very multi-talented, multi-skilled people that can step in at a moment's notice for lessons, and also as a backup in case there is illness, you know, in the staff side. As far as school groups, I've been communicating with the coordinators about what our procedures are going to be in terms of equipment distribution and, you know, lesson groups and things like that. Most of our programs, we're the host venue, and most of them come with instructors, if you will, or coaches. But we will do some programs, and it's all about, if the kids are in school, if there are field trips, if there are going to be groups, this is how we're going to do it. And it involves, you know, equipment outside, spacing outside. The kids are already in, the ones that are in hybrid classes are already used to masks. And so we'll just continue on. And that message is, you know, you've got to help us stay open, because we want to be here for you.
Right. Greg, do you have a question?
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking on all this, one thing that we've been considering and discussing is if we have a group, this is from a PSI perspective, if we go and run a clinic at a Nordic Center, kind of like these school groups, they show up, like Richard said, they're the host. Is to really start talking and communicating with those and saying, hey, could you guys not try to congregate where the high busy spots are? Start thinking and planning those lessons. I mean, groups, no matter what, even if your Nordic Center is putting on the group lesson, it draws attention to it. So if you have guests that aren't coming taking lessons and they see groups there, that draws attention. And last year, I wanted to draw attention to my group lessons because people will then ask about that group lesson. But if somebody else, another guest, is uncomfortable and they're coming to cross-country skiing because they think it's going to get them away from everybody, and they start seeing these groups gathering around the Nordic Center building or common places, they're not going to feel comfortable. So start thinking about how you manage your groups and say, hey, let's start thinking of more discrete spots to gather that aren't going to be common congregating pots for your regular guests. Could be keeping your regular guests more comfortable as you go through these things as well.
Awesome. I want to go back to Richard, but one thing, KISA cannot be involved in any discussion on pricing. So I see a fair amount of pricing in the chat. Please do not do that. There are laws that prevent that conversation from happening when KISA is involved. So if anyone is looking to talk to someone, I can connect you offline and you can have that discussion amongst yourselves. Richard, you mentioned you've got some tricks to hiring new people. I know you and I had a discussion a while back about potential racers at the high school or college level, that race schedule being reduced, so there may be an availability of some pretty skilled skiers. Can you share with us some of your ideas for filling that that potential need?
It's thus far it's been pretty straightforward. I'm in an advantageous location, but there are a lot of postgraduate collegiate skiers who are not going to be skiing the Super Tour this year, and definitely want to stay with their hands in the business and clubs and myself. I'm going to hire them. I mean, there's some training involved, but they're enthusiastic, they're young, and they want to stay in skiing. And so it's kind of a good opportunity for me to have talented people around that can help, but it's also a good opportunity for the skiers who won't be able to travel, who won't be going to, you know, U23 Worlds because they may not even happen. They won't be going to Junior Nationals because Junior Nationals aren't going to happen. And give them kind of the opportunity to enter in a different side of cross-country skiing. I've got instructors that have been, instructing for 20 years on staff. And so we do clinics, we do trainings, and thus far I actually haven't had to go out and seek any of these skiers. They've been seeking me. And I think by the time I get another three on board for the season, I'll be in pretty good shape. And if not, I'll just start asking around because they think there are going to be plenty of people around that looking for something to do.
What do you see any challenges that you're struggling with to meet at this point when it comes specifically to the lesson program?
The biggest things are kind of on the, not on the kind of the instruction side, but on the operation side, and new signage, new anti-gathering signage, new please go stand outside, we love you signage, is one issue. And then just the fit and the mechanics of getting people geared up efficiently and safely and getting them outside. Once they're outside on the snow, and especially with a new lesson area and potentially the other new lesson area, spacing won't be a problem. I don't believe instructing will be a huge problem in the discussions I've had with the instructors, but just kind of the mechanics of getting in the door, getting geared up, getting out the door are going to be the areas where we really need to focus on making spacing work and making people keep moving. So
you mentioned your teaching area configuration. And I'm just wondering if you're considering changes there to accommodate what could be a larger, more teaching groups in your beginner area, just because they're not going out on the trails.
Well, I mean, the only approach that, the only practical approach is to flatten out some more snow, in my mind right now. It's flatten out some more snow, put areas in a different place. We're improving some of our lesson areas for Paralympic and disabled skiers, so access will be more direct for them. And really the idea is to make sure that if we have multiple groups out on the snow, that they're not all in the same place. I mean, our one main lesson area is fairly large, and you could easily safely have, easily two groups on it, possibly three, still spaced out quite a bit. But the idea is to get people out, get them kind of away from gathering points, away from trailheads, and moving as much as possible. I think the lessons are more enjoyable when you do that, rather than just kind of standing around or going back and forth. It depends on the group, of course. But I think the spacing is there that we'll need.
What we've had a lot of questions about school groups. Do you guys at White Pine have school groups? And if so,
yes.
2-minute plan there.
The 2-minute plan is pre-communication. We've got getting with the coordinators and the coaches and explaining that no, you can't just in the past, you can't just like run in. The boots will not be kind of waiting in the hallway for you. All of that's going to happen outside, but be prepared. And then making sure that the chaperones and the parents and everybody are all well aware of what the plan is before we start, so that we don't have to do a lot of behavioral instruction on site.
Gotcha.
Polite way to say that.
Yep, very good. And in our last couple of minutes, Greg, I want to go back to you, and I put up the additional training resources that PSAA has put out. Can you talk through kind of some of those resources and familiarize the group with what those are? And I will also, this document was sent out in the last newsletter. It will be included on the recap of this call, so there'll be a link there, and that'll be posted on Monday. So you will have another opportunity to get this, but Greg, a quick recap on those resources.
Yeah, these are all free resources to PSIA members and non-members, so anybody can access them. The e-learning course, the delivering the beginner cross-country experience, is a video series that Emily and I put together with information of that you could use as a requirement for your instructors to look at without having to do in-person training. So we go through everything from welcoming a student to some basic getting people moving on snow. And like Richard said, we really emphasize movement is better than standing around. So that is there just to let you know, as you go through that system, it might look like you have to create an account or anything, but they never ask for money. So go through all those steps. And if you have questions, please contact the office as you're going through that. But that is a wonderful resource. There's two links on those YouTube channels of a beginner's guide to cross-country skiing, as well as how to put on your cross-country skis. I can't remember exactly which one those are. Over the last 2 years, I've covered several YouTube videos, one with REI and one with Hallie O'Brien. I think those may be the Hallie O'Brien ones, but those are out there too to share with your within your Nordic Center with your guests coming at beforehand. And these are free. These are available. Ask us for more access if you need it. And I just want to say that this is a great opportunity to highlight some of our operations within your and streamline them to be better in the future, not just for COVID time, but for everything. And these are great ways to get these eggs out there and get your instructors moving forward in effective lessons for years to come.
Yeah, and I will say that I have played around with those videos, and they are really quite well done. And that one to how to put on your cross-country skis, I believe that goes through boots, poles, skis, and it's a great opportunity to send that to any of your pre-registered guests before they arrive, so they do have an expectation. Anyway, we're at the end of our hour. I want to be cognizant of everyone's time, so thank you all for coming to this and participating. And special thanks to Nick Heron and Emily Lovett, Greg Rhodes, and Richard Hodges for being our stellar panel today. Appreciate it very much. We are off next week, but we will have a call in 2 weeks, and that will be, I think we'll be going back to the community forums and really looking, taking another pass at rentals, retail, and day ticket sales. So thank you very much. Like I said, the recap of this and the audio will be posted on Monday. All right. Thanks again and take care.